God's grace, mercy, and peace be to all of you from our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may his Holy Spirit fill your hearts this day and set your minds on the hearing of his holy word. This Sunday we begin a three-week sermon series called Stewards Living a God-Pleasing Life. And I pray that God will use this time, this morning and the weeks ahead, and these messages to encourage all of us to be faithful and God-pleasing stewards. I also pray that each of you will continue to study the Holy Word apart from the church here on your own and your families. The word for God, the word for today is found in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and I'll read verses 1 and 2, where we have a biblical definition of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things unseen. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is the word of the Lord. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. I cannot see it. A certain hope and assurance for today. That is faith. There was a man. He was known for his buildings. He was a carpenter and became a home builder. And he had many people that he worked with. But he was also a father. And this man was well known for his quality built homes. In the building of his homes, he always wanted to have the best quality materials, the best architectural plans, and he also, over his many years in building homes, wanted the best workers. So he always had the best contractors working for him. He kept a list of those people he knew he could depend on, and he knew their quality of their work. Now, the people who bought his homes, they would pay extra, more than what they're used to, because he had this great reputation. His homes were just excellent places that people would live in. And so it was, with that background, that this particular man decided that on his 50th anniversary of marriage, he would take a trip around the world. It was going to take a long time. And so he sat down with his son, and he said, "Son, while I'm gone, I want you to build a house. I want you to look at these plans and do like we've always done. Son, I want you to use the best quality materials. Will you do that?" His son said, "Yes, Father, I will." And he said, "Son, I want to make sure that you use the best contractors, the ones that we've known over the years. Will you use them on this project?" He said, "Sure, Dad, I will." And he said, "I will build the house according to the specifications you've outlined here in the plans." And the dad said, "Son, I know that I will be proud of you. I know I will. So please take care of it. Your mom and I will be back when our tour is done." And so the parents went away on their trip around the world. Had a wonderful time. But while they were gone, the son had his own way of looking at things. And so he decided that in order to make a little extra money for himself, he would cut some corners on building that house. One of the ways was in materials. Instead of using 2x6s in the walls, he decided that he would use 2x4s. That should be enough. And instead of putting insulation in the walls like all houses should have, he thought that his father wouldn't know, and who would mind if he cut back on that? He cut corners everywhere he could cut corners. And even with his choice of contractors, he went out and found the contractors and builders who would do it much more cheaply, even though he had never used them before. Even he discovered the poor quality of their workmanship. But nevertheless, he had a lot of extra money to pocket, and that made him very, very happy. So finally, his father returned from that long trip, and his father came to see the house. And from the outside, it looked just wonderful, just like they expected. It fit in perfectly with the other homes. Only the son and those other fellows who worked for him knew the difference, that the materials and quality of workmanship that went into it wasn't the usual. His father didn't know this. So the father looked at the son and said, "Son, I can't tell you how proud of you I am." And he asked him, "Son, did you use the best quality materials?" "Yes, Dad." "Did you use the best contractors, the ones we've always known?" "Yes, Dad," he lied further. And his father said, "I am so proud of you." And his father reached into his pocket and pulled out the keys to the house. And he said, "Son, I know that you and your girlfriend are getting married next year. And so your mother and I decided that this is going to be your house." Just as the son cut corners in building the house his father asked him to build, could we be cutting corners in building our own spiritual house? Are you trying to scrimp and save? Maybe you don't think that you need as much time here in worship as other people do, or in studying the scriptures. I see today there are some empty seats here in our worship, and this service is usually filled to capacity. Will you be protected from life's trials and tribulations, which are bound to come? And while they come, will you withstand those storms of trial and temptations? Unless the Lord builds the house, those that build it labor in vain, says God's word. So, we let the Lord build our house. Now, I know you've all heard the story of Jesus, who talked about the two men who built their houses. One built their house on sand, and the other built his house on the rock. You remember the story? And especially young people here today, I'm looking at you. What happened to the man who built his house on the sand? Great storms came, and all kinds of rain poured down. And the sand around the foundation washed away, and the house fell with a mighty crash and collapsed. But what about the man who built his house on that rock for a foundation? Well, you know, the storms came, the winds blew, and the house withstood the storms, didn't it? That's the picture. A rock that we build on is a picture of our lives and our spiritual homes that are built on Christ, who is the rock of our salvation. He is our rock, and he is our fortress. He is our Redeemer, and we build our lives on him. There is no other foundation that will stand up to the trials that will come upon us and the storms of life. We wither in the heat, and we faint in the storm. We waver and wander, but Jesus, our rock and our Redeemer, holds firm. Our emotions, they soar and they plunge. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the writer of the Hebrews assures us. Faith trusts in Jesus Christ. But what is faith? When I was a kid, we used to get Cracker Jacks. Remember those? You always trusted there'd be a prize in there. Of the hundreds of those boxes that I opened, I remember only one time that I was disappointed there wasn't a little prize in the bottom. You see, it takes a simple degree of faith to trust that there's going to be a prize in the Cracker Jack boxes. We can talk about traveling faith, too. Remember the last time you flew? Were you one of those people who you sat down in the chair and you grabbed the arms of that chair so tightly they almost came off in your hands? And then that plane took off and you had this trust, this faith that it was going to make it and you were going to have big storms and you were going to fly wherever you went, over the ocean or over the land, and then that you were going to have a soft landing and touch down and you were going to get off that plane alive and well. You see, you have faith. You have traveling faith. You have trust that the plane is going to get there. Or how about that kind of traveling faith up in Chicago when you're driving down I-294 and there's all kinds of traffic merging and you're holding that steering wheel very tightly, especially if it's rush hour traffic. You're trusting that you're going to get to your destination, nobody's going to ram into the side or the back of you, and that, you know, you're not going to hit somebody in front of you. It takes some kind of trust, doesn't it, to have that traveling faith? And if you don't have faith in that, well, at least you're going to have faith in your insurance company. Well, you have not only traveling faith, but you also have financial faith, don't you? You trust that God is going to take care of you financially, that God is going to provide for your needs. Now, we especially need that in these times in the last week or so with what our government's going through and the economy. You know, we've heard all this news about financial bailout for Wall Street. You've got to have financial faith in the present because the Lord is taking care of you now. These are difficult times, and some of us are really struggling financially. But we trust and we have financial faith that the Lord is going to take care of us now and in the future. We look to God and we ask for greater faith and help and assistance. The widow in the Bible, at Luke chapter 21, had such financial faith. As the wealthy people were going up to the altar there, and there was an offering box, and they were putting in their gifts with great announcements and fanfare. Look at me, I'm giving a gift. This woman almost snuck up there, and Jesus commended her in front of others because she put in all that she had. She just had 2 copper coins. She put in more than all the others, he said. What she really had was faith. She was able to give it all because she had faith that God was her security, not her money. By faith, whether it's as simple as trusting that there's a prize at the bottom of the Cracker Jack box, or trusting the airplane, or even knowing that God will care for you in all circumstances, faith offers much more, doesn't it? That faith is saving faith. And what is saving faith? Saving faith is in our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is faith that trusts in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, and for life eternal. It is faith that trusts in the events of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some that call themselves Christians today who don't believe that Jesus actually died on a cross, but that he was only a messenger. We have faith that that event on the cross was an objective event. It really happened. Christ died on a cross for you and for me. Therefore, we have forgiveness of sins. His blood was shed. His body was buried in a tomb. But we also believe, just as those women did on that first Easter morning, when they heard those words, "Who are you looking for? He is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said." We know the tomb was empty. Now, were you there to see the empty tomb? Did you see Jesus alive with your own eyes? I didn't. But I believe, and so do you. Though through faith we participate and we believe and trust in Jesus Christ and his merit and his work on the cross and the empty tomb for our salvation. It is ours, even though we weren't there, we believe, and that's the good news for God's people today. It is a saving faith, and that is the foundation on which we want to build. Then God comes, and he has a set of keys to a spiritual house that he is building for you and me. He is building our lives, maturing and growing us, and he gives us the keys to that spiritual house. And it's a good house, well built, because God has built it. He gives us the house. He makes us stewards or managers of all the time and all the things that he puts into our lives and all the abilities that we have, of everything that we are and everything we have. Faith is the foundation, and we are the stewards, the managers. So the responsibility is ours, friends, to be good managers of all that God gives us. May your spiritual house not only grow and mature, but may it be one that sees all of God's blessings and abundance of his grace. As Scripture says, "For it is by God's grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And he has really given it to you." Build your house. Build your house on the faith which the Lord has founded in you, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blueprint for building our spiritual house and the work that you do by the power of your Holy Spirit to guide, to lead, to strengthen, and to build us firmly on the foundation of faith and trust in you alone for salvation. Let us ever keep our hearts and minds focused on you and what you have done, that we may do for you and for others. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.